We are looking at membership and covenant. For those of you who remember, Jason Stacy covered this back in the fall. He went over a lot of topics about membership, what it means to be a member of the church. He went through some scriptures, the kingdom of the Lord Jesus, the body of Christ, the family of God, a holy temple, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. And then he went over what was important about being a member of a particular congregation. So today we're going to look at some of those things that are in the covenant that you all signed at some point here in your membership here at ECC. So let me open with some prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for all that you've given us. Thank you that you have provided the church for us to come together and to worship you as a congregation. Lord, be with us this morning as we seek to learn more so that we can grow closer to you. We ask this in your son's name. Amen. So what we thought we would do is make this a little more interactive. So we're going to ask you to, for those people on this side, to look to that board. And for people on this side, look to that board. My partner in crime, Mark Verhagen, will be over here. And we're going to ask you two simple questions. What does life together in the church look like? And what are the obstacles to life together? So we're going to kind of copy those down. We'll bring those together, and then we'll talk some more about what you said and what we have in our particular covenant. So if you want to go ahead and look each way, Mark, if you want to get him started over there.
Absolutely. So why do we go through this, you know, whiteboard exercise? Now, we want you as a congregation to think about your responsibilities as members of ECCs. And what John and I did and what you did in putting these things up here, obstacles and what life together is part of that. Not all our definitions for what life together is and what the membership of the church is are the same. And therefore, we are going to hand out our membership covenants. Now, some of us signed those membership covenants 20 years ago. Some of them signed them recently. Some of you remember those membership covenants, and some of you don't. And those who don't probably don't remember what was on it. So what John and I want to do over the next 40 minutes is kind of teach through those covenant statements and remind you what you all agreed to when you put your signatures on that piece of paper and on that document. So our focus is going to be, if you have that membership covenant, there's going to be the bottom four covenant statements on that piece of paper. Now, Jason hit on the top, and Michael hit on the top in the past. We're going to focus on the bottom four statements for the rest of our time together. We'll also touch on the top part for just a few moments at the end of the class as well. While we go through these, I want you to think and I want you to ask yourself, how's ECC doing as far as the membership covenant is concerned, as far as these covenant statements are concerned? And then also, how am I doing? Not I, Mark Verhagen, but I, you. How are you doing on these statements as well? And ask yourself, is this something that we need to come back to on somewhat of a regular basis as a church, just to remind us what we attested to remind us what we signed and what we agreed to do for this body? So let's start with covenant statement number one. I will maintain harmonious relationships with my church, Romans 14:19. So then, let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. I will maintain harmonious relationships within my church by acting in love towards other members. 1 Peter 1:22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. So love is a command. We know that. We love because he first loved us. We all know that. But how we express it and live it out, defines who we are as followers of Jesus. And we all do that differently. When I look around this room, I see faces that I have known for a long time. And each one is a story. There's a story behind each face. I have a relationship with just about everybody in this room in one form or fashion. You have poured into me, and hopefully I have poured into you. You have blessed my family, and hopefully in some ways I have blessed you. That is membership love. You know, I do. I mean, I can look at each person that I have my eyes on now and say something positive about what you have done for me. And that's what the church is about. That's what this covenant is about. And that's what we're trying to express today. I want to thank you for that. Some examples. I was thinking of the Montres, actually. Adam and Dave, last week, I watched you from the narthex as you helped Howard Dirksen into the front seat of his van. And the week before that, I think I just happened to be in the narthex when Gordon was helping Howard into the car as well. That, for me, is membership love. Donna Peterson has orchestrated a card writing for our widows and for our widowers. That is a segment of the church I often forget about. But that reminded me of what membership love really is. Almost to the day, 16 years ago, I was diagnosed with colon cancer on the 7th of March, 2003. And 10 days later, I had surgery. I had part of my colon removed. And the first people to come and visit me were, in the hospital, David and Joyce Tedford. Now, at that same time, Dave Tedford was going through colon cancer himself. But he walked beside me through that diagnosis because he had walked before me with that diagnosis. When I came home, I couldn't do much. Dwight Kingdom, there's a name from the past, got my perennial beds ready for the spring. Tom Salzburn put a mailbox post in my yard that had been knocked down. Homeschool families and church families brought food. I had a stack of cards this big, which I still have, to remind me of people who have loved me through that situation and through that time. And that, during that time of uncertainty, physically and emotionally and spiritually too, this body came around me and loved me and loved my kids and my family. And my kids even, they started a little blog just to let people know how I was doing. So I thank you for that. And it's just not me. Each of us can say how somebody else within this body has reached out to them and loved them in some tangible way. And I see heads shaking up and down right now, being able to be a witness to that. So the second one, I will maintain harmonious relationships within my church by refusing to gossip. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. We live in an internet era where information is coming at us fast and furious. And I don't know what it is, but there's something within us that wants to be the first one to know something. And it wants to be the first one to share that something, whatever it might be. Whether it's just information out on the internet or if it's something that's intimate or that's been shared in secrecy. And we often want to be the first to know these things, and that desire often can lead to gossip. When things are shared in confidence, they need to stay there. There is a very fine line between sharing and gossip, okay? Sharing a prayer request, sharing information. Oversharing can often lead to gossip, and there's a fine line there. So I would encourage you to ask God for the wisdom to know the difference between that. In your conversations, are you building up the body or are you corrupting it? I will maintain harmonious relationships within my church by following the leaders as they follow the Lord. Hebrews 13, 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. We also live in a time, not only internet time, but we also live in a time when questioning authority is acceptable. We see it all the time and every single day and in every aspect of our life, whether it's in our homes, children, whether it's in our work, whether it's in the church, whether it's in politics or in our society. Now, if Tom Rumping was here, he'd be able to tell you that on the battlefield, if you question authority, that could cost lives. But in a democracy, it's allowed. It's acceptable. Protest is not a bad thing. It's part of who we are as a nation. It's one of our freedoms. But questioning authority to gain power control is a bad thing. Let me read from 3 John, verse 9. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge my authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us, and not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. So Diotrephes obviously has a control issue. Diotrephes functions more as a dictator and not as a team player. And I'm sure that when John shows up at his fellowship, there's going to be some serious discipline in place, and I'm sure that did take place. In the church, you need to ask yourself, who are you subject to? Who are you subject to? First King Jesus, God's holy and inerrant word, your pastor, your elected leaders, those are the people that you placed above you. Those are the things that you need to hold fast to. If you don't agree with a decision, don't groan, as the scripture said. Don't groan. Don't complain to the person next to you or the person might agree with you. There is a process. There is a process to follow. And just a month ago, a member of the church came up to me and had a concern. That person shared that concern. I asked her to write it down and send it to me as an elder. She did that, and I brought it to the elder board, and they are in the process of discussing that. We will come down to a decision, and then we will get back to that person with what that decision is. So there is a process that doesn't undermine the church. Covenant question number two. I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for the salvation and the growth of people. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and 1 Peter 2, 2. The Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow into salvation. Are we a missions people? Our missions committee is very active, and missions are very visible. Missionary videos, mission giving by the church, mission emphasis at fellowship meals, missionary of the week, a minute for missions. Our desire to reach the unreached is very, very evident. Are we a praying people? Prayer opportunities are highly visible, I think, here at ECC. Praying with elders after the service, email blasts, prayer cards in the offering plate, elders praying for families and through the directory at our meetings. And what I call aisle prayers, I feel like I've seen a lot more of that. At the end of the service, people will get together and share with what's going on in their lives. And all of a sudden, I'll look around and somebody in the aisle or somebody in the pew will be laying hands on somebody and praying for them for whatever that night's need is. I just feel like I'm seeing that more and more. We're becoming a praying people within this body. Now, are we a praying people outside this body? Well, I can't answer that question. I can answer that question for me. I know that I could be doing much better. Okay, I can't answer that for you. But we as a church are a praying people, and we are a missions-loving people as well. I will share the responsibility of my church by inviting the unchurched to attend. Luke 14:23. And the master said to the servant, go out in the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. ECC's involvement at New Burlington School right across is a wonderful example of doing this well. Donut and coffee drive-bys, Bible distributions, church flyer distributions, helping in the school send a message to the unchurched. It's not verbal, but it's by actions, and the Holy Spirit uses that and is using that. You may never know how, but it is happening. All of us in this room have come to faith through the influence of the Holy Spirit and someone. Someone spoke into my life. Someone spoke into your life. Someone said something to you to make you a believer that you are today. Now, that person in my life is a guy named Jimmy Lake. He was an amateur magician, and a guy named Chuck Carver. He was a camp counselor. They were the someones in my life that brought me to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. So let's pay it forward and do for others what someone did for us. I know that's a hard one, inviting the unchurched. I don't do this well. Some are more gifted at that. Let's challenge ourselves to when the Holy Spirit leads us in that moment to reach out to others in that way. I will share the responsibility of my church by warmly welcoming those who attend. Romans 15:7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Well, ECC is totally the poster child for this one. I mean, we do this, I think, really, really well. You know, in the beginning of the service, and we'll do it again this morning, when we extend the right hand of fellowship and the peace of Christ, we are following Christ's lead and glorifying him. It's a wonderful time as I look around and watch people greeting each other in the morning, you know, in the beginning of the service. I just think, and we do that great. I mean, I've had to wait. At the end of the service, when there's new faces, I've had to wait in line to greet those new faces. That's how good this congregation is at reaching out. You know, Gordon, you are wonderful at this. Cheryl Puckett's really good at this as well. And I'm just very encouraged when I see visitors being talked to and the right hand of fellowship extended to them. And with that, I yield the floor to the gentleman from Finneytown.
Greetings to all of you from the lovely town of Finneytown. For those of you who thought we were just doing this all by memory, all the scriptures we're speaking about are on the back of the handout there. Some of you have already discovered that. Our resident teacher, Ray Nephew, already discovered that. So point number three, I will serve the ministry of my church first by demonstrating God's love to all people. So if you flip your form over, I'd like Rick Schatz to read that scripture from Matthew.
You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
So the question there is, who's your neighbor? You know? Is it your real neighbor, the one that you live next to? How many of us have people that live around us we don't even know their names? Of course, I have an excuse. I've only been there since August. But my wife is making a conscious effort to go around and introduce herself. Now, interestingly, this is going to be a lot easier for me. There are three houses down to the corner from the condos from where we live. Two of them are also named John and one's named Ron. There's a chance I'll remember all of them, but not a great chance. So think about that. How do you love your neighbor here in the church? Who's your neighbor here in the church? And then how do you love them? You know, are you demonstrating that in a positive way, especially for the people that you maybe don't know? All of you who've been here long enough to hear me up in front assisting know that when you reach the end of the row, if you'll pass your pew pad back and see who you're worshiping with so that you can pray for them that week. And I've often said, if you don't know them, go introduce yourself. Now, Mark's right. There's a lot of that going on. But how do we demonstrate that love? Because the way that we demonstrate that love is going to impact the friends that we bring, the unchurched that we bring, anybody that's just new that happens into church. It's interesting. This morning, there's going to be a gal here that my wife is bringing who's from St. Thomas. She's coming in to be a part of a Red Cross training that's all this week. So she contacted our church and said, could someone please bring me to your church? So there you have an opportunity. You'll see someone with my wife and just go up and introduce yourself. Now, this is someone that will not be back. They live in St. Thomas. But just do that as a kind of practice. So how do you love your neighbor? How do you show concern for your neighbor? Point number two, by discovering and using my gifts and talents. How many of you here are confident about what your gifts are? Interesting. How many of you are not confident about what your gifts are and how you might use them here in the church? There are methods that we've tried over the years to, and it's not, how to best say this, it's not, all of you have gifts. The Bible clearly says that. And to demonstrate that, I'm going to have, Steve, if you would read 1 Peter 4:10.
As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace.
See that first phrase? As each received a gift. All of you have received a gift. Now, because you know that most of you have been in my path somehow when I tried to get you to volunteer for something. So I know most of your gifts just from being with you, but some I don't. And maybe there is a gift that you have or some area here in the church that you would like to work in, but you just, that's not really my gift. That's not really what God has given me. Well, how do you know if you've never tried that? So an encouragement as a member of the church, because God is calling us to use those gifts and talents, would be to reach out. If you don't know, there are, how many of you have taken the spiritual gift inventory here at the church? I think we've probably done it, I don't know, Rick, how many times? Many. There are many books that Michael could share that would help you with that. I think it's important for a member of a church to recognize that as a member of the church, you have a gift and that you should be using it. You should be exercising that gift. Now, I know I've asked some of you to do something, and you said, no, it's not. That's okay. There's no problem with that. But you need to recognize your gift, because God has given you a gift. You are a steward of that gift. So what you do with that gift, please don't wrap it in a hanky and bury it in the ground. Those of you who read your scriptures on a regular basis know that's not the best way to kind of do those things. So as you know about your gifts, as you want to demonstrate your gifts, as you want to try out your gifts, come forward. I'm sure that Rick or me or David has, if you've got a gift for youth, David would take you in a heartbeat, wouldn't you, David? No question. And if you don't have any training, David would train you, Rick would train you, Michael will train you. We want to get you involved as part of a church, because you signed a membership covenant and you said, you promised, by discovering and using my gifts and talents, I will serve the ministry of the church. So for those of you who need to talk about that, Michael's available, I'm available, Rick's available, Dave's available. Ask any of us. We'd be happy to help you with that. Point three, by developing a servant's heart and lifestyle. Rob, can you read that for us? Philippians 2, 3, 4, and 7.
Others more significant than yourself. Let each of you work not only to his own interests,
by developing. That word developing is important there because it doesn't necessarily mean that all of us have a servant's heart right out of the womb. It's something that we learn to demonstrate. One of the interesting things here at the church I saw, and I won't mention the family member, but their oldest son, who is one of these Ricochet Rabbit kind of kids, was running around in the front, in the narthex. And an elderly member of our congregation stopped him to ask a question. And his response blessed me because he stopped, he answered the question, he engaged in conversation. Now, this young fellow has not yet reached double digits in his age. He didn't come out of the womb knowing that. He's been taught that by his parents. It's been demonstrated to him by the people around him. So when you have a servant's heart, you know, what does that mean? You know, serving your church, that's what we're talking about here. But what does it mean to have a servant's heart? Where do we go to find out what it means to have a servant's heart? Rick, where do we go? Scripture. So, and there are many instances of a servant's heart. Mark shared. Rick, I'm sure, could share how many people have reached out to you as you're working through your cancer and through your adventures in Tennessee. And God provides us many, many opportunities to be a servant. It's up to us to step into that. How many of you have participated in the Send Them a Meal? You're a servant. That's a simple thing, isn't it? Sure, just make, you know, a little bit extra for what you're fixing for your family, bring it to the church. For those of you who have been blessed, and I can tell you this, that those who've been blessed by that really feel a connection to this church because you all acted as servants. That's a very simple thing. You know, and one of the other ways the young Ricochet Rabbit fellow learned from looking at others. How many of you can look around this room and say, oh, yeah, he's a servant. Oh, yeah, yeah, he's a servant. She's a servant. God puts us into church so that we can see that, so we can demonstrate. For those who are younger, they can look to the who are older, whether they're younger in age or younger in their faith. So look around. There are plenty of servants here. And certainly you can find someone that would certainly be happy to take you under their wing. I know, for instance, that the deacons always have plenty of opportunity should that be a place that you'd like to serve. Let's look at the fourth point. I will support the purposes of my church, first by attending faithfully. Dennis, will you read that, Hebrews 10:25? What does this mean? That's an open question you all can answer if you want. What does it mean to not neglect gathering together, especially on a Sunday morning worship? You can answer the question if you want. Jim, what does that mean? But if it does, Dr. Langdon, Dr. Clayton, is that true? If you are the first week of flu, should you be here at church? It's a good point that nothing should get in the way of church. But do we have resources? You know, we record all the sermons, and through the efforts of Gordon Doman, they are available at the end of Sunday. So if you miss church for whatever reason, we hope it's a legitimate reason, but if for whatever reason, you have the opportunity to listen to the sermon Sunday night. It's there. How many of you knew that? That it was on the, it's on the website? It's a great recording, and it just runs, and it's very interesting. If you've not done that before, to listen through that. Those of us in the community group who weren't paying attention to the last sermon, it's often nice, and it's just a different experience. But if church is important to you, then one of the main functions of church is to share the word. So take advantage of that. And I understand that there are times when things get in the way of church. But the hope would be that your commitment most of the time is to be here, not only to hear the word, but also as a member of the church so that you can serve, so that you can fellowship, so that you can pray, so you can be a part of a congregation because, as Mark pointed out, you all signed this. Now, some of you don't remember. Joyce pointed out to us that the first time we signed this was in 1996. Many of us who were around then signed this and probably, I think my framed copy with the gold edges is gone. I don't remember where it went. Probably in the move or something like that. But it's important to recognize that coming to church is one of the best ways to maintain membership. You know, it would be real easy for Howard Dirksen to listen to the sermons at home, but he counts it important that he's here. So many of you have had the opportunity to help Howard be here. That's the kind of commitment that God is looking for from us. Remember, the church is God's doing. He put that together, you know, first that we can glorify him, but that we could also come together as a congregation and really support one another in this journey here on earth. Let's look at point two, by growing in Christ-likeness, which is a lifelong journey. You don't get to Christ-likeness and say, okay, I'm done. So let's look at 1 Timothy. Colleen, if you would read that for us. So, again, this is an open question anyone can answer. What strategy do you use, or strategies, for growing in Christ-likeness? What are some examples? They might be here behind me if you hadn't thought through that. Bible study? How? I mean, what different kinds of Bible study? You know, personal or in a class? What happens to you if you are awakened pretty much every night at about 3 o'clock in the morning? Rick, what do you do?
When I do my quiet time.
And it's very quiet, isn't it? 3 o'clock in the morning is when I do my meditation, kind of like this. Find way. What are some other ways that those of you who want to do grow in your Christ-likeness? Okay.
Attending worship.
Attending worship.
Sunday school.
Loving
your neighbor.
Communion, which we'll be celebrating today. Being a strong witness. Once again, God gives us opportunities to grow in our Christ-likeness, to grow in our love for him, to use outreach. It's like we don't have to manufacture this, although discipline at 3 o'clock in the morning might need a little bit of manufacturing, but look at the opportunities that you have for growing in Christ-likeness. One of the things that we mentioned on our board was humility. You know, how many of you, when given the opportunity to step forward and request prayer, stay in your pew? Especially this morning. Humility, understanding your need for prayer, for others to come around you, to reach out in that way, is a significant way of growing in your Christ-likeness. You know, Jesus came to this earth and became a servant, became a man. And we need to be understanding of that as well, that part of our growing in Christ likeness is to be humble, to request. Now, how many of you, this is another way of growing in Christ likeness. I had a friend many years ago back at College Hill, and if you ask her to pray for you, she say, "Well, I'll never remember. I'm going to pray right now." And I said, "That's a great opportunity." Now, some of you write those down. You put it in your phone. You put it on your calendar. You write it on a bulletin. That's all good. But when someone comes forward, how many of you who have prayed for someone else didn't receive as much of a blessing as you were trying to give to the person you were praying for? Again, another opportunity to grow in your Christ-likeness. Let's look at the last one here. By giving regularly as God blesses me. Joni, can you read that scripture for us on the back? 1 Corinthians 16:2. Open the floor by giving regularly. What does that mean? I know that the scriptures, you know, use tithe as an example. But somebody a long time ago, some of you remember a fellow named Ron Rand, said that it's not only your money, but it's your time and your talent, that you are stewards for all of those things. Not only the money that God has blessed you with, but your time. And sometimes that's not always easy to offer. Or your talent. Again, so by giving regularly as God blesses me. So if it's financial, you know, if you see a need and you say, "I can do that because I have the talent, because I have the time," you know, either one of those is an opportunity for you to give regularly. And there should be joy in that. I think there's somewhere in the scripture, doesn't it, Rick, that says God loves a cheerful giver. So as you give, God often gives us opportunities to give because he's blessing us. Think of it that way. Again, it's if you're thinking of your time and your talent and your money, that you're a steward of all of those things, then how are you using those? And oftentimes I've found over the years that you don't have to think of some way outside yourself. Opportunities present themselves constantly. One of the ways that I do that is, and this is a very simple way, and most of you who've ever worked with me know that I have absolutely no talent for home repair. Zero. So I'm often blessing those who have that talent with my money so that they can continue to live. That's a simple thing. Any of you can do that. You know. But because God has blessed me, then I'm able to bless someone else. Because as often as I can, I try and employ someone who's Christian. So that I'm blessing them because, and any of you know me, know that anything I've ever tried has been a complete disaster, and I paid more for someone to come and fix what I tried to fix. Some of you nodding your heads because you know. So, Mark and my point this morning was to try and bring all of these back to mind. For some of you, the covenant was a long time ago. You know, your vows were a long time ago. For some of you who are newer members, this is kind of fresh in your mind. But we think it's important. Michael thinks it's important for us to kind of focus on this. So Mark's going to give us a little admonition and close us in prayer.
So I have a question for you. Do you think that we as a congregation should affirm either on a yearly or a bi-yearly basis what we shared with you today? Maybe in concert with communion, should we be able to read through these covenant statements just to remind us again, okay? So many of us have forgotten. It's been so long. We haven't reviewed it. What do you think about that? Is that a good idea?
Yes.
That's one yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's something you'd be part of and think we should be part of as a body. Okay. We have, the top of that sheet that we gave you has the statement of faith of ECC, the statement of purpose, and also the statement of gender. We have 10 copies of each of those. If you're not familiar with them, if you're interested and you want to read those, John will place them on the table over here to the right so that you can pick them up on the way. Also, bylaws. The book of discipline, confidentiality, all that is in this book of order. The greater catechism is near here as well. If you want to look at those, if you want to find out more about them, I'll give this to John to put over there as well. But there is a place where you can go there if those of you who are interested in church policy. And also what I want to do is, since everybody thought it was a good idea for us to do this as a congregation, I want to read through this as a group before I close in prayer. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the top part, and then at the end, the four covenant statements, I want you to chime in with me at that time. We don't have to read the scripture verses. Having received Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord, and having been baptized in the name of the triune God, I now feel led by the Holy Spirit to unite with the Evangelical Community Church family. In order to carry on the religious mission of the church, to preserve the function and the integrity of the church as the local body of Christ, and to provide a biblical role model to church members and the community, I agree to abide by the following and conduct myself in accordance with them. I have read and understand ECC's statement of faith. I have read and understand ECC's statement of purpose. I have read and understand ECC's statement on marriage, gender, and sexuality. I will abide by the Constitution and the bylaws of ECC, particularly in the following areas as they apply to individual members: church discipline, conflict resolution, confidentiality, and biblical counsel and pastoral care. Read with me. I will maintain harmonious relationships within my church by acting in love towards other members, by refusing to gossip, by following the leaders as they follow the Lord. I will share the responsibility of my church by praying for the salvation and growth of people, by inviting the unchurched to attend, by warmly welcoming those who attend. I will serve the ministry of my church by demonstrating God's love to all people, by discovering and using my gifts and talents, by developing a servant's heart and lifestyle. I will support the purposes of my church by attending faithfully, by growing in Christ's likeness, by giving regularly as God blesses me. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this congregation. I thank you for their heart for you, for their love for the word, their love for the gospel, their desire to share that gospel with one another and with the world. Lord, I thank you for this membership covenant. I thank you for reaffirming it. Lord, let it be a part of who we are as individuals and as a church overall. Go before us, Lord, as we love you and we love others. We pray this all in thy name and through the power of thy Holy Spirit. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you very much.